من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم.
This person was a stranger, but he could not say that he was a stranger. He heard a couple of stories. He could question how that's not the day he did out of the day. He sat out on the shovel of the night and asked four questions for Surah Al-Fatihah. Iman, Islam, Pakistan, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given all the answers, and he confirmed that the answers were right. Because Umar radiallahu anhu said, that he was surprised. If you didn't know, how did you confirm? How did you confirm? And if he knew the answers to what he asked. And later on, the Rasul explained, talking to Jibra'il, this was Jibra'il alayhi salam, the promised teacher of the deen. The first question that he asked was Iman, the Rasul was explained the article of faith in Jibra'il billahi, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when you say believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of us say that we do believe. But what does it mean when you say that we believe in Allah ta'ala? We believe that he is unique in his being and his attributes. When we say that he is unique in his being and his attributes, then what do we mean? Because there are attributes that we also have, which are Allah, Sami, and Basir. Allah has created man and created the faculties of hearing and sight. And Allah Ta'ala also is Sami and Basir. He is all seeing, he is all hearing. So when we say that Allah Ta'ala is unique in his attributes and being, what we mean is the faculties we have got, our faculties that are borrowed, loan. It is not our own, it is on loan. Allah Ta'ala just given it to us, allowed us to use this faculty. Really it belongs to him, but he has allowed you the usage of his faculties. وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah Ta'ala will appoint you as managers of the world, and then you will see how you conduct yourself in these favors that Allah Ta'ala has blessed you. Favors belong to you, related to wealth, related to health, related to sight, related to hearing, relate his speech. All these are the favors of Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala, as you see, وَيَنْ زُرَكِ الْبَعْدَ مِنْ I ask you to manage this whole affair, and how you go about managing wealth, how do you manage it? Do you mix it up, halal and haram? Your ears, how do you manage them? Do you listen to anything and everything? Your eyes, how do you manage your eyes? Your tongue, how do you manage it? So this is that, this is the whole goal, the whole objective, is to see how you manage this thing. One verse Allah says, لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ آذَوْا مُوسَىٰ فَبَرَّأَهُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا People have heard Musa alayhi salam, like they have heard and insulted Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they have insulted and heard Musa alayhi salam as well. So you get those people that will obey the Nabi in the very beginning, and you get the people that will follow the Nabi in time, and you get that class of people who reject, and then you find an extreme class who not only reject, but also insult. That rumors, insult, accusation, etc., etc., to make that the business. So they have done this with Musa alayhi salam. Sometimes they are accusing him of indecent behavior for a woman to shut up, and they accuse Musa alayhi salam. Then, famous story, Fasatna bihi bidari al-ard. Allah Ta'ala is very, very angry when his people, his select people, are insulted, they are hurt. When Al-Dantuhu bil-ard, Allah Ta'ala wages war against them. He wants war against the person who hurts his special select servants. Allah Ta'ala caused the earth to swallow the person. Again, the Sultan Musa alayhi salam accused him that he got some body ailments, and because of the skin allergy that he got, therefore he covers himself. He cannot see any part of his body. Why? Because he covers himself. Why does he cover himself? Because he got some type of a skin allergy. So, this was another way to turn people away from Musa alayhi salam. And Allah Ta'ala feared this as well. This accusation also appeared from the Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif. Musa alayhi salam had taken off his clothing, left it to a location of the rock, and went into secluded spot to bath. After he had come out of the bath, the rock ran in his clothing. Came right to a gathering of the Bani Israel, stopped there. Musa alayhi salam was now very upset at the rock. Why did you bring this type of embarrassing situation from me? And he struck the rock with his staff, and so that he says, I give impressions of striking a rock. Nonetheless, when they saw Musa alayhi salam upon his entire body, they found that the man is absolutely spotless, no skin allergy, etc., and the rumors and the accusations that are passed against him were totally false and unfounded. So, Allah Ta'ala warns the believers, اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. Fear Allah Ta'ala, fear that which is right. So, the verse, the Quran Sharif, the words of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala are very, very comprehensive. The Surah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was favored in different ways. So, built to all the Bi'ai specifically, and been favored in six different ways. Not the Abiyya alayhi salam. One of the ways he was favored was the Jawab al-Kalim. The words were true, but the words are comprehensive, complete at all. Though it's just a few words, but it's comprehensive and complete. Now look at one hadith. Just two words, but how accurate, how precise, and how perfect. This goes, al-ibratu bil-khawatim. That you will be judged according to your ending. How you end, that will be your... This is how you will be judged. How you end, how you transit, and how you move away to the next round. This is the way that you will be judged hereafter. Everybody's concern is that he deals with iman, Allah takes him with deeds of iman, and since you state jiva without any child, the belief that the belief, or that's the dream of every believer, that he doesn't want to have any type of problems as he goes into the next one. He wants it easy, he wants it calm, and he wants it to be a journey that he enjoys. And Allah Ta'ala can make it enjoyable to the people that he chooses. Who will choose it? But a person who works towards it, Allah Ta'ala makes it. He makes it, Allah makes it enjoyable. I mean, this proverb, for all the people that passed away, Allah Ta'ala blessed them with Jannah. Some of my friends, their father also passed on. So, a day or 2 days before they pass away, when you see the parents, very good spirits, healthy, the doctor is saying also, just a matter of time, 1 day or 2 days, and you'll discharge. And the son obviously will encourage the father, he will come up, the doctors have spoken very positively about you, with no sign of the sickness, and inshallah you'll recover, you'll be happy again. The father actually was angry, he said, well, don't say this. No, I don't want to recover fully. I want to get to Allah Ta'ala. Now I want to meet Allah. So, وَالْحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ حَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. When you work towards a good ending, you work rightly towards a good ending, Allah Ta'ala makes the ending also good and pleasant and enjoyable. But then you have to work. Allah Ta'ala has great procedures in this world is not just a luck. If you just go into Jannah by luck, you prepare yourself, Allah Ta'ala grants you that type of a beautiful ending. So, Hadith is saying, Al-Ibratu bil-Khawateen, you will be judged according to your end. How you have ended life, that is how you will be judged. Now the question is then, how do you make the end beautiful? You need to see to it that the end is right. And to see that the end is right, what plan should you put in place to see that the end is right? Because that's the way, that's the spot that Allah Ta'ala is going to judge you. That's the criterion. How did you move on to the next round? Now, this is the criterion. And this is the criterion, then how do you put it right? How do you make it right? What is the procedure to follow? So Hadith says very, very easily, أَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ تَمُوتُونَ. The way you will conduct your life, that is how you will end your life. You conducted your life in the right way, you showed right values, you were sincere to Allah Ta'ala, you were faithful to Allah Ta'ala, you did not break His loyalty, you kept Him before everything else, your business, your profession, career, whatever you were doing, but you kept Allah Ta'ala before everything else. Allah Ta'ala's law is primary, everything else will follow, everything will come later on. In India, 1890 somewhere, from the Viceroy to India, from the British Viceroy to there. He was having a session with all barristers, judges, and magistrates, etc. So one Muslim barrister, he got up, and he announced to the Viceroy that it is my last time, the last is for us, I have to leave. And after my namaz, we could continue with the session. Anyway, the barrister said, well, the English viceroy decided that he was going to meet him. Definitely, yeah, you go and complete your namaz and come back to be waiting. In the meanwhile, those Muslim barristers and magistrates and judges that were there, they also had to get up because the viceroy would say, well, if you aren't faithful to your religion, and I don't trust you. You are faithful to your religion, and I don't trust you. So they also got up to do the Zohar Namaz. As they got up, they met up with the person that asked the barrister for permission that he needs to go for Namaz. So they asked him, you could have gone quietly, softly, without making an announcement. Why did you have to make an announcement? So he asked him, but isn't Namaz for us? Yes, Namaz is for us. Well, when it's for us, then I have to go. What do you mean that I must go quietly? When it's for us, he said, but you could have gone without making an announcement. He says, see, it's for us, is it only for us upon me? Or is it for us and you as well? He said, well, it's for us upon me, and for us upon us as well, it's us as well. So, well, then the right thing was to make an announcement. When I made that announcement, so you also have got the time to go and discharge your father. So Allah wants to see your level of loyalty, your level of faithfulness. Are you faithful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under any given situation? Remember, the life is short and the life is only confirmed, isn't it? Your life, you live 70, 80, 90, also, everything is confirmed, no matter what plan you put into place. But when time comes, لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون, that moment is not delayed to anybody, nor is it brought early. Time is confirmed. Well, now, this hadith that it says, the Ibrat ibn al-Khawateen, the honest worker will explain that the way you conduct your life will be your ending. فَمَا تَحْيَوْنَا تَمُوتُونَ. You live the right way, you show loyalty, you show faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will end right. When you end right, Allah will be favored. In India, there was a simple old Muslim, simple ways of earning a halal living, and no formalities about the person, and route to the masjid is to get oil lamp. So from old India, 150, 200 years ago, when most of the machinery were hand-driven, either by a donkey or something, but it would drive the whole machinery to press the oil. So this Muslim is going to masjid, and on the route to the masjid, he will come across this oil man. This oil man will ask him, I want to know from you, is your beard better or the beard of his goat of mine? The Muslim will keep quiet and say, inshallah, in time, you will get to know. In time, time will tell that whether my beard is better or the goat beard is better. So the old man is on the throes of death, and he makes a request to his children. My children, as I pass away, if I sell on the coffin, my beer you carry past the shop of the oil man. In India, up to recently, I don't know what the status now, but in time we were there, a male sinner was taken without a cover. Like you see in the Haramain, that a male's janazah is taken, carried without a cover, and a female janazah is carried with a cover. Here we cover the both, but it's male or female covering, not the covering. And there it's only covered if it's a female, but if it's a male, the male will leave it open. Anyway, as per the request of the father, as they passing the shop of the oil man, they stop. As they stop, the deceased person is sat up on his beard, the janazah is sat up, he held his beard, and he says to the old oil man, that brother, you know, I've died with iman. When I've died with iman, then I can safely say my beard is better than the beard of your goat. Up to this point I can say, I didn't know whether I would die with iman or I would not die with iman. But now that I've died with iman, I can safely say that my beard is better than the beard of your goat. So this hadith, Al-Ibratu bil Khawateen, that you are judged according to the ending, that will make a Muslim, any Muslim, it will make him concerned right throughout his life. A person that understands this hadith, can he ever be proud about himself, can he ever be arrogant, and he doesn't know where he stands until at the last moment how he fears of this world, goes with iman or doesn't go with iman, he doesn't have any assurance. Besides Ya alayhi salatu wasalam, besides those people that have promised Jannah, nobody got to guarantee that how is he going to end the life. So when you don't have a guarantee, can you be proud? Can you be arrogant? Can you feel too much about yourself? Can you be boastful? So all these evil qualities and traits, all they get washed out when you have this hadith in mind, Al-Ibrat ibn al-Khawateen, I may be right now, but the next moment I don't know what I will be, what I'll turn out. Just in a moment I can just slip, I can flip. So I need to trust Allah Ta'ala than trusting myself. I need to place my confidence in Allah Ta'ala than placing the confidence in myself. In my mind, I can just slip in a moment. Something can happen. I can just turn up. So we're talking about this verse of the Quran Sharif. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Fear Allah Ta'ala and speak that which is straight. Speak that which is right. He has two commands, and these are the verses that he's coming afterwards. يُسْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. What is the virtue? What is the reward? Allah Ta'ala will correct your action and He will forgive your sin. سَوَارَيْغَا تُمْهَارَيْ لِيَ تُمْهَارَا كَامْ. If you do this truly, then Allah Ta'ala will correct your action, your deeds, your works, etc. He will correct it. And number two, apart from correcting your works, then He will forgive your sin. And then you obey Allah Ta'ala, listen to Allah Ta'ala and receive Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you have attained the highest achievement. Now, when we say taqwa, what do we refer to? Simply put, taqwa means that we refrain from the doubtful area of doubt and don't go and experiment. With our lives, we don't experiment. With the lives of our children, we don't experiment. With our property and wealth, we don't experiment. Sometimes, that's the only person that I know. So he went onto the computer, he sort of learning how to manufacture a bomb. He went to experiment, but he exploded, he died. So when you can't experiment on these type of things that cost your dear life, can you experiment on iman? You can't experiment on this, you can't experiment on iman. You won't take a chance on these type of things. Anyway, there's two commands, one is ittaqullah, and one is Awla al-Sadeedah. So, taqwa, the essence of taqwa is you refrain from the areas of doubt. It means you will do that which Allah has commanded and you will refrain from that which is prohibited. The areas of doubt, then you leave it out. Today you will do the doubtful things, tomorrow you will be haram. You can't trust yourself, you can't deny yourself. Where, for example, the Hadith says, so, if you seclude yourself with a woman, the third person is shaitan. Now it's a doubtful, it can be a doubtful situation. For example, you are driving, you see a young girl. So, the one thought that will pass your mind is that she's stranded, she needs a lift. Then we be kind, we show some kindness towards her. So being kind is a trait of a Muslim, is a quality of a Muslim. But then, Hadith is saying that if you seclude yourself with a woman, then the third person is shaitan. Or there's a conflict. On the one side, she needs a lift. Right? They can be transported, they can be a taxi, she can jump in. But now you want to show that kindness. And on the other end, the Hadith is strictly warning you that if you are secluding with a woman, and the third person is Shaitan, you don't know how your mind can turn. Now you seem to be alright, but now the moment you seclude with this type of a person, how your mind can turn, you do not know. So, when it's a doubtful area, what should you be doing? Just leave it out. You stay away from this. The Hadith says, if you stay away from Shubahat, doubtful areas, then you have guarded Irdahu, Wadeenahu, you have guarded your Izzat, as well as your Deen. Both are guarded. Now, how this pans out, this example, the man, He took on that girl into the car, right? Now someone seen him. Rafi Sahib is sitting with the girl, young girl. Why are they secluded like this? So doesn't it create doubts in people's mind? And if you left that, him do it, now you've guarded your respect. But you experimented with this, how the world is going to talk. This man is an unscrupulous person. You don't know what he does. One moment he's good, and the next moment you don't know what he's doing. So you lose your izzat, just in a second you can lose it. So therefore the Hadith says, leave out the truth of doubt, and that will bring you to the level of taqwa. Similarly, it saves your deen and your iman, it will lift the areas of doubt. Your deen is also guarded because Shaitan is not dead. He can trigger some suspicion, some type of doubts, or some feelings in your mind. You may seem to be a modest, a very changed person now, but in a moment, what can happen to you? You don't know what the future will. So, the one thing that the Hadith, the Quran has commanded is taqwa. The second thing that the Quran says, speak what is right. And you see the same verse, it recites at the time that you conduct your nikah, the Qulu Qawlan Sadeeda, speak what is straight. ये फादर साहब है जो पहले भी उसने सुनाई ही कमेंटेट ऑन दिस वर्स इज दिस कॉल अबाउट फोर कंडीशन टू मेक इट स्पीच मेक इट राइट टू मेक इट स्पीच राइट फोर कंडीशन इज आई फाइव फॉर द स्पीच टू बी राइट वन इज यू डोंट इंटेंड टू चीट और मिसलीड द पर्सन इंटेंशन ऑफ योर Your intention is not to cheat, not to mislead the person. Now, you can mislead the person in different ways, you can cheat on the person in different ways. You can give a good front, but the meaning of, in the meanwhile, you are conniving something. You have some planning in your mind. For example, you got a partnership, right? And you got a shop on the side, and the shop is selling peanuts, right? And you start out with peanuts, and you start out with partnership, you insisting on the partnership that was buying and sell peanuts. And then, after you are convinced that you should buy the peanuts, and I can supply it. Being a partner, they will allow you to provide. My intention is correct. My intention is, they're going to buy the peanuts from you, you're going to get a profit in your business, plus you get a double profit in the partnership. So intention on that. Although you came with a proposition, but is your intention right? Now, others may not realize, but Allah Ta'ala is watching what you're doing. Intention is very important. Intention. Anything that you are doing, what's your intention? The intention sometimes, you discover the intention, a person can become your bosom friend, and if the intention is flawed, then he can become your harsh enemy. You got someone working in your business life. Now, after a year or something, you discover that he's doing the work very well, coming on time, talking in time, going out on time. But his whole intention is to learn the whole business. Not well, you should see your suppliers, you should see your clientele list, and you should see where you source all your stuff. So, learn the whole trade, where you're sourcing. You should see your clients, you should see your suppliers, you source your stuff. I got money. Now I learned the whole thing. I opened up a shop at the other end of the town and diverting all the clients on that end. Now, if you get to know that this is your intention, I ask you, that person, that staff, you're showing the same respect. Respect is gone. Intention also. And the intention makes the person the friend or makes the person the foe and the enemy is left for intention. So your speech, the first element of the speech is your talk must be right, the intention must be right. Qawl and sadida, first requirement of qawl and sadida, true speech, the right speech, is the intention must be right. The second condition for right speech is the substance that you are giving also right. It means you have verified the substance, you're not just spreading rumors. You have something here, there, investigate, and just parts and rumors, you verify information, understand the substance, and you understand also, see a message that is passing on. So you understand that the substance is right, and the substance is supposed to be passed on. Then you pass it on. Now, most of the troubles come in when the intention is not right, or the substance has not been verified. You didn't verify the information, and then made viral, then publicize the thing. Now, people begin to say, well, it's an unscrupulous person. He doesn't verify information. He just passes on information, hearsay, rumors, unqualified statements. He just passes on. So they lose the respect, they lose the confidence, they lose the trust of the person. And the second most important requirement is to verify the information. If it's important, whether information has been verified or not, etc. The third requirement is in right speech is Taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. The approach must be right as well. Alright, the intention is right, the substance is right, but is your approach right? Or are you aggressive? Are you impolite? What is the type of approach you are using? The approach must be right. You can make the approach right. King saw a dream. All these people followed. So when he saw that the chief scholar, he asked one of the ministers, what is the interpretation? So the minister replied, all your family will die before you. So the king was shocked up and shaken up. He sent the minister away. He called a more intelligent minister. This is the dream that I've seen. All my teeth have fallen. What's the meaning of the dream? MashaAllah, what a beautiful dream. Inshallah, you will outlive all your family. So that he said the same thing, but the approach is right. Corrected the approach. Now that approach, when the minister got a great present from the king, he told me the same thing, the approach was right. It didn't shake me and it didn't shock me up. The first approach shaken me and shocked me up. So the approach, although what you're talking about is right, although what you're talking about is beautiful, but is the approach right or not right? And the fourth requirement is it the right occasion? You need to still say something. So is it the right occasion to say it or not right? When you check into all these four requirements, then the reward that you will get, Allah Ta'ala will correct your deed. Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib said, your deeds and your works. Deeds and works, be it of a worldly nature or be it of an akhirat nature, Allah Ta'ala will correct it. He will make it worthy of acceptance. Whether it is a worldly thing, whether it is a thing connected to the akhirat, but you understood what was right speech. So the right speech, you understood this, you applied yourself, so Allah Ta'ala will correct your speech, make it worthy of acceptance. So, worldly wise, you are doing well, akhirat wise, you are doing well. And the pause that comes about is mainly because of one of two reasons, one of two weaknesses. Either the intention is not right, it's not, or either the approach is not right. So this is where the flaw comes about. You verify, you didn't use the right type of approach, the intention was flawed, or the effect is not coming in the speech. But if that speech has got all these four requirements, then it has the right. Now this also says, the person has got these four things, then it's not a problem, it doesn't have a long list of wealth, it doesn't have investment, property, wealth, etc. He's got these four things, really he's got the world. One is truthful speech, number two is an honest person, he takes on something, he's honest. He doesn't breach the promise. So one is he's truthful, number two, he doesn't breach the promise, covenant, promises, undertaking, whatever it is, but he's truthful, he's honest. Number three is his character is also good. And number four is eating halal. So the person has just got this, he doesn't have a lengthy list of wealth and investments and property, etc., bank balance, overseas, and he doesn't have anything, but he has got this four, that he's got enough, he doesn't need anything. He won't be honest. People like him, people respect him, Allah Ta'ala will give him a calm and a relaxed life. But then they hear him. Now, look at this verse again. Just look at the revisit the whole verse. Ittaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Two commands. Allah Ta'ala is commanding us with two things. Taqwa and qawla sadida. Now, why does Allah Ta'ala do this? He does this because, you know, the injunctions of deen are plenty. But now, Allah Ta'ala wants to show you a comprehensive plan. You follow the comprehensive plan, then you are working your path to the hereafter with comfort and peace. Now you're living in the home, you know you've got right speech, you polite. You talk things that are good substance, you talk with good intentions, you wait for the right occasion, and then you talk, right? So your household begins to love you, your children, your wife begins to love you, your immediate family, your extended family begins to respect you. The community that you belong to, they also respect you. The man is very reliable. He talks about the right things. He's got an approach. You can talk to the person who's accessible. He's a person who talks about substance. The people love you. People respect you. But dunya matters also are improved and corrected. And then why won't your akhirat matters also be improved and corrected? So when Allah commands you, wants you to go to Jannah, then He shows you a procedure as well. But you follow this procedure, inshallah, the road to Jannah becomes very easy, manageable, and enjoyable. But a simple, easy procedure, ittaqullah, wa qulu qawlan sadida, fear Allah Ta'ala, guard yourself from all things that are prohibited. Guard yourself from doubtful areas, number one. And number two, see that your speech is right. You didn't say just see that your speech is correct, or straight, said see it is right. Therefore, إِذَا أَصْبَحَ إِذَا عَدَرَ When a man gets up in the morning, early morning, right? His entire body, they plead to become. When istaqamta, istaqamna. If you are straight, if you were, it's the tongue. The tongue is like the spokesman for the entire body. Whatever is in your heart, in your mind, who does the speech to? The tongue. So the tongue is like the spokesperson for the whole body. If you go right, you all be right. Well, awajta, awajna, if you go crooked and go raw, off, you'll also go right. So the entire body pleads to the tongue, please, you be right. You go right, you'll also be right. You go off, you'll also go off. But the tongue is such a small thing, right? It's such a small thing, but the tongue says something out of place, right? And the whole body has to pay for it. Because it's luminous of the tongue. Did something you're not supposed to do. It said something. Now the tongue doesn't catch it. But who catches it? The entire body catches it. The consequence of the tongue has to be paid by the entire body. The tongue did whatever it needed to do. It did. It's forgotten. But because of the pulse and the slip of the tongue, the entire body gets into trouble. So therefore, the hadith says, well, you go straight, and you will go straight. Again, Rasulullah gives us the advice how to get into Jannah, see that all your obligations of being, the namaz, roza, zakat, etc., all is done right. Then Rasulullah explains to him, As-sadaqatu tutfi'u ghadab al-rabb, the sadaqa, it extinguishes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, fasting is a shield for it. And then the Hajjul namaz, and the rewards that come with Hajjul namaz. And at the end, as Rasulullah explains to the du'a that he wrote, وَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَىٰ مِلَاتِ ذَلِكُ كُلِّهِ He says, here is something, and preserve all your deeds. You know, whatever deeds you are doing. You don't want it now, you have works and works are lost, and then you will come on the day of Qiyamah and you feel everything has been cancelled. You don't want that. So he shows him a preservation plan. All of us have a plan. The old age for the retirement plan. Medical plan. Sadaqa plan. Every type of plan. Allah haram, the different things. But, we all want to have some type of a security. So what is the security for the hereafter? We've got security plans for this life. Security for the qabr. Security for the akhirat. We've got a plan for that. To secure everything for the hereafter. So the plan is, this is explained to us here, take care of the tongue. You take care of the tongue, that will be a security, a preservation for all your deeds. On the day of Qiyamah, we will all appear before Allah Ta'ala, and we are given our books of deeds. So the man opens up the books of deeds, to see, Iqra' kitabah. Kafa bi nafsika al-yawma hasiba. Today, you will not need any account on anybody to come and read your book. Every person will be in a position to read his own book. To audit his own book, because he can see the own book. So he'll complain to Allah Ta'ala, he'll see it, to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, I did so many things, right? Hajj, Umrah, Zakat, whatever I did. But I don't see reported in my books. I've done all these things here. But I don't see any reports for it. So Allah Ta'ala will see for the confirms, yes, you have done this. But then you slander this person here, you cheated that person, you made ghibat of this person, you gossiped against this person here. So all the good deeds that you have done, all have been cancelled because of the wrong thing. The day of Qiyamah. So, one of the names of the day of Qiyamah is Yawm al-Hasr. Anzirum Yawm al-Hasr. The day of regrets. So this day of Qiyamah will be a regret also for a Muslim. For a kafir, obviously, it's endless regrets. There is no second chance. One chance and last chance. In this world, you fail in something, you get a second chance. But in the hereafter, no second chance. You don't get a second life. You don't hear someone who went to the Qabristan and he's given a second chance. Come back and just correct yourself. one chance in life. So it becomes a means of regret for the believer also. He sees now people have been elevated. That's right. And I don't have, I went in Jannah, getting the comfort. I didn't get the elevation of this person. So it's told to him, you see those moments that went without the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, you lost him. These people appreciate those moments. You didn't appreciate the moment. They elevated themselves. You didn't appreciate. Just end up. So, I spoke about this to my friend, Alistair. What moment, what time? Instead of listening to you, news and this and that, whatever else, you jump into your car, to your workplace, to your university, to your home, and this makes it up. La ilaha illallah. Home, back, masjid, back, home. So just make zikr, la ilaha illallah. So I met him after a year or so. He tells me, you know, well, I'm surprised myself. Every day I'm doing 2,000 la ilaha illallah. Going to work, coming back. Going to shop, coming back. Going to the masjid, coming back. I tell people in the car, won't feel like angry with you or disappointed. But I got a routine in this journey of mine. I don't want it to be vacant, so I'm making some zikr. It is excuse me, not that for you to continue, but I'm making my zikr. So since every day I do 2,000 la ilaha. So see what else you want? See the time is not wasted. So the time is not wasted where you thought it was like an impossible thing. Now if he made a plan and Allah showed him how to get it done. Before it was like impossible for him to read La ilaha illallah 200 times a day. Now he's doing 2,000 with ease. It's a little bit of adjustment, a little bit of determination, and thinking rightly, and you come to the right conclusion, right end.